Everyone, this is Baba. Greetings, greetings, everyone. This is Brother Baba Wutapa right here in Oklahoma City. I am your host with the most. We're right here on People Power Radio. We're going to give you what you come here for, and hopefully you can go back home and tell everybody that you heard it first right here on your favorite show right here in Oklahoma City. Again, I'm Baba Wutapa, Brother Michael Washington. I'm also here live with Sister Mayette Uboah, who is also our co-host today. So, again, we want to thank all of y'all for coming out tonight. Tonight, y'all, we want to talk about loved ones who have had a loved one, friend, or next-door neighbor to die inside a jail or prison here in the United Snakes of America. Now, a lot of people probably want to know, why do I call it United Snakes of America? Because you have people who are in seats of authority and who should be actually preserving life and preserving humanity, but at the same time, they are the same people who are squandering, subjected people to cruel and unusual punishment by virtue of misabusing the power and authority that's given to them by virtue of a what you call privilege, not a constitutional right that they have that job. And the people have a constitutional right not to be subjected to cruel and unusual punishment, denial of due process, bed bug use, death, destruction, mayhem, so forth and so on. So again, we want to thank all y'all for tuning in tonight. We're going to have a very, very wonderful show tonight. We're going to have some very brilliant guests who themselves have had loved ones and family members who have been exposed to the same trauma, death, and destruction that I just spoke about. But before we get to them on the line, we're going to first get to our co-host, Mayette Uboah, and ask her what's been going on with her. And from there, as y'all always know, we'll proceed to talk to our guests and get their ideas. Mayette, talk to me. What's going on with you?
Shay, of course, I'm definitely glad to be on the show.
Amen.
To talk to everybody. I've had a pretty good day. You know, today's, in the city, it's a lot going on. And I try to, always push out some type of message or something for everybody. And the biggest thing that's been sticking out to me is situational awareness. We all have to be aware of our surroundings. Anything around us, people, mm-hmm. Animals, anything that goes on nowadays, but mostly geared towards what's happening and just now made its way to Oklahoma, with all this mass shooting
business going on.
Mm-hmm. It's very important that everybody, really use situational awareness, because if we don't, we can be in a situation to where we can't defend ourselves, nor can we defend the ones around us. And I try to, stress that amongst, my comrades and also, just the general public, because, we don't have time to, be upset at each other. We don't have time to, beef. We don't have time to do none of that. We got time to get everybody ready for what's happening right now. It's not coming. It's already here. At this point, we don't have time to anything else but prepare and be aware of our, our surroundings as we live our regular everyday lives,
That's very true. You're definitely right.
That's the whole
feel. Yo, wait, what'd you say?
I said that's my whole feel about it because, I watch people, just shopping around and, going to the convenience store while I'm pumping gas, all these little general area places.
Yes,
and lot of people are not aware of what's going on around them. They are shocked and surprised. But if you prepare and you understand the world that we live in, you will adjust, when, needs to be adjusted. You can be on top and aware of what could potentially happen, So
amen.
That's just my
feel on it,
Michael.
I say. Well, you're going to be on the show throughout all the night and, basically giving your voice and opinion about the everyday social environment and our political, economic, and educational structure here in the United States. Now, I see several of our lines lit up already. I don't know. I'm just going to call your first three numbers again because I don't like giving out people's total phone numbers out there. But if you recognize it, you can tell me who you are, and then we'll definitely go down through the line. I'm going to take you as I see them, the numbers pop up. And I want all y'all to understand as well, it's not required that you say a thing on the show if you don't want to, if you just want to listen in. We don't want to put any kind of pressure on you. But this is the show where your ideas, your thoughts, your opinions, and beliefs count. There are no right or wrongs. What I say is not right and you wrong. What you say is not right and I'm wrong. It's all about sharing the fundamental principles of our Constitution and economic and educational beliefs and opinions through how we can further help each other out and better our individual causes. Now, if I recognize number 668, again, you don't have to speak if you don't want to, but I'm just trying to get everybody to introduce themselves so I know how to approach you after each session where we ask questions. So now, again, 668, if you want to announce your name, that'd be nice. If you don't, just say that you prefer not to, it's on you. So if you whatever you want to do. Well, I don't recognize.
My name is Stacey.
Okay, Stacey, good. Yeah, oh, yeah, you was out there with that protest. I'm going to have to watch you. You was out there with that protest the other day when you're on Saturday. Uh-huh.
Yes, I was.
I got you. you can't get by me. All I need is hear that name. All right. So stand by, and we're going to definitely talk to you in just a few minutes, and we want to just try to get everybody introduced. You know, we like to kind of get that feel, that family-like atmosphere. And so please hang on. We'll get back to you. Then you got 719 again, if you want to recognize yourself.
Yeah, this is Cynthia with Amanda's Law.
All right, Cynthia with Amanda's Law. And then use another one out there with us protesting. Say, look here, y'all ain't going to scare me, man. I ain't scared of y'all now. I want y'all to know that. Y'all can't get to me tonight, so I ain't got to worry about it. Oh, man, this is good, y'all. This is wonderful. Thank y'all again, Cynthia, for you coming on as well. So y'all give me a little bit of time. We'll be getting back to you now that I can identify the phone number with the name. And then we got 448, if you want to. You don't have to. But I'm sorry?
Addie?
Oh, okay. I ain't scared of you either. You was at the protest, too. I ain't scared of y'all. Y'all can't look here. Y'all can't reach me tonight. I can say what I want, do what I want. Well, let me be careful because y'all might see me next week, so let me call. All right. Let's go with Sister Addie. You again, I definitely wanted you to, because we wanted you to be the top of the show tonight as far as I asked you. You asked me if we could do a show like this here so that we can give the population, the people, information about what we're doing here in Oklahoma City. Again, I've asked Cynthia as well as Stacey to get on as well. So let me say this, y'all, before we get started. Tonight we want to get our voices out there. I want everybody to know that we, and Mayotte is my witness, we reach Denver, Chicago, Minnesota, Kansas City, Portland. We go on and on and on. Well, people, y'all going to be hearing callers all night long from various states talking about how great that we're doing a great job here in Oklahoma. And without us, they've been able to see better things that they hadn't seen before. They've been given direction, what constitutional laws to contact, and how to, you know, better approach their families and loved ones. This is a show about y'all. And if anybody today, and then I'm going to shut up here, if anybody today has any kind of show that you think we don't want to be heard, we don't just want to do a show ourselves. One of you out there from wherever you are, y'all can call us up at area code 405-246-9089 and give us about at least 3 or 4 days so we'll know to put it on air and that you want to do a show. I don't care if you want to talk about popcorn or potatoes. And as long as I get mine, I ain't got a problem talking about it. All right, now, Ms. Addie, what's going on with you up there? What's up with you now? You had a loved one to die some up there in that stinking jail, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. My husband.
Talk to me. What's up on that?
I'm not really sure. I got a few different stories. The one with the phone call was he got sick. They took him to the medical unit. He started throwing up and then all of a sudden was just out, and the ambulance supposedly showed up, did the thing to his heart. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I can't think. To jumpstart his heart. They said they did it so many times. By the time he got to the hospital, he was dead. Then when I went up there to pick up his stuff, they told me they couldn't tell me anything. And then his best friend, Terry, got a visit from his cellmate that said that my husband complained. I'm sorry.
Take your time. You all right. Come on.
You're
okay. Take
your time.
Yeah. Take your time. That's a very precious moment. You got to live down after hearing all that mess. So take your time. We got an hour and a half. So you just did whatever you need.
Same. His cellmate went to his best friend and told him that my husband complained of chest pains for 3 days. They constantly tried to get him some help.
Oh,
on that
man,
third
man.
Day, they let him out of they let them out of the cell, and they went and sat at some table. And this man says that my husband grabbed his chest.
Oh man!
And said, "Man, why won't they help me?"
Yeah.
And fell on the bench and died.
Hmm. Do you want to?
He did not make it to the medical unit. He just made it to the hospital dead.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry for your auntie. That's why we're doing what we're doing here in Oklahoma City for your loved one and others. We're going to make things happen. That's why our movement, Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, and our allies, we're making changes. Now, do you want to pronounce his name? If you don't have to, if you prefer to keep it hidden, I mean, because whatever your emotions.
No, all names need to be said and heard. His name was Roderick Thompson. Forever 50.
All right, man. I tell you, you know what? My heart just reaches out to, you know, your family, your husband, and your children left behind, and you know, society as a whole. We have mad, vicious people standing in our way. If there was something that you could say to that county jail staff, what would it be right now?
Why and what truly happened? Why did you not help my husband? You had 3 days.
Three days
to get him to a hospital. And I know my husband, every time we have problems, we split up our 18, 19 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we were not together, my husband would call me if something happened. He had a heart attack all the way in South Carolina. I'm in Chickasha, Oklahoma. He called me. He called my uncle to get a hold of me.
Right. So you said he's always had heart problems.
I know he wanted to call me. I know he did.
I got you.
So I believe that they wouldn't even let him call me. And I'm his emergency contact. Why did you not call me when he started having problems? He died, I believe it was around 4:30, and you didn't call me till 9:30. I couldn't even go sit in the parking lot of that hospital, so my husband didn't have to die alone.
Oh my God. What year was that?
It was 2020 Christmas Eve.
Okay, well, then we're going to make sure that we get some done within 2020 of December this year, because, you know, you got 2 years statutory limitation. So that's why the purpose of this show, so I can take names of everybody, even if we have to go pro se without an attorney. The point of the matter is get it filed, and hopefully someone will try to latch on. And, you know, like I said, you can do it yourself, but like I said, a lot of our problems today, we don't have anybody who has a knowledge without an attorney how to get it done. But rest assured, we're not going to let statute of limitations stop you from getting your voices heard. So if we have to do it ourselves, I'll be there every step of the way.
I have been trying to find help since the day it happened, and I don't know why, but you guys popped up on my Facebook 2 days ago.
Rita?
I'm saying.
So y'all are my godsend.
Yeah. Well, look, so that's what we do, Addie. We're not just talking to kick the game. The game is where when it's played well. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. You know, you can. We have a track record. You know what I mean? So hang on. So don't leave us just yet.
I'm going to tell you. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you, me and his kids are going to be there the 25th that you invited me to, and I'm bringing him with me.
You bring him, baby.
I'm bringing him with me.
Yeah, yeah. And what we're going to do, like I say, y'all, we're getting ready to have a little different little sessions other than these here. We're going to do, like I say, little, you know, picnics and different things where people getting to know one another is how best you can really put forward a real effective change by everyone feeling the same brunt, because every one of us had a friend, a loved one, a next door neighbor in that stinking jail that's being killed, being bitten by bed bugs, not getting showered, not getting proper medical treatment, so forth and so on. So, Addie, don't leave. You definitely gonna have more time to speak. We want to move on now to it. Mayotte, and I know you're gonna have something you want to say to that before we move on to somebody else.
You know, I just listening to the stories and, you know, hearing about them. Each and every one that had, you know, to deal with the horrible treatment of a loved one, a family member, a friend, you know, these were real individuals that had real life.
Yes.
Oklahoma does not care. They're caring about collecting the numbers, getting people in and out, you know, that's what they are geared to do, is to continue to get this, you know, to keep the system flowing. And, you know, there are opportunities for them to help, and they neglect. And it's been way too many times. I'm surprised that this has not been on a national, you know, scale to where they're, you know, actually doing something about it. Like, ain't that alarming? It's this small place that we live is having this much trouble, you know, and losing so many people within the last couple of years, and they're not paying attention because they are on their own agenda. And my heart goes out to the families that have lost, you know, loved ones, you know, within this Oklahoma jail system. I've heard too many stories of cruel treatment, you know what I mean, of our people. And I just, you know, I want peace, and I want justice. You know, I want the voices to be heard. You know, being connected to Michael and being a part of the show, it really has enlightened me, you know what I mean, and helps me push a little bit further for the ones that didn't, you know, have anybody there, you know what I mean, when they really needed them. You know, that's the biggest thing. So we just, you know, we just got to keep putting it in front of their face and not letting them ignore it, because eventually something's going to happen, you know. Something is going to happen. They got to answer for it.
That's going, you know what, I may, absolutely, because let me tell you something. This past Saturday when we did the rally out in front of the jail, let me tell you something. We not only had about 60 to 70 members, people show up, but this time, this coming 25th, we want at least double that. And I think with the activity and involvement we're doing, we're going to get that number easily. And guess what? We went in there that same Saturday inside the jail, and guess what? Everybody abandoned the building. Wasn't nobody left to man the front. Anybody could have brought in what they wanted to. And that was in relationship. We were asking questions about the family of a young man who recently had died as a result of fentanyl. And we letting everybody know fentanyl didn't walk itself off in there. So, again, that was a horrible death. You see? You know, so that's what we want to know. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that a little later as well. But let's go to Cynthia. As you know, Cynthia, let me tell y'all something. We don't just deal with jail death. We deal with brutality and prisons and all that. And matter of fact, Cynthia has a friend that she introduced me to that died. And I'll let her tell you a little bit about that. And what I'll do, we're going to be doing something this coming in 11th, July 11th. Excuse me, June 11th. So, Cynthia, tell me about what's up with that situation down at Mabel Bassett down there.
I'm going to have Amanda's Law rally at Mabel Bassett in McLeod starting at 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to do with a young lady that passed away on February the 28th.
Mm.
From what I've been able to find it. Yes, this year. Uh-huh.
Mm.
She, from what I've been able to find out, she was attacked by a correctional officer, and her face was bashed into the cement floor.
Oh, what? Oh, man.
And they took her to lockup, and she passed away on February 28th, the day after. Now, I did not personally know this lady, but between watching all the deaths in Oklahoma County Jail, and I've been watching them since January, and then this hit hard at home for me because I just live like 30 miles from McLeod.
Got you.
And the fact that I did go to a rally on March 5th that they had there, and it made me think, you know, what can be done to help with the people that are incarcerated, whether it be Oklahoma County, state prisons here in the state. And it made me think about how city officers and county officers that are out patrolling, they all have body cams.
So
it comes to my mind that what if correctional officers and county jail officers were made to wear body cams as well?
Interesting.
It would stop a lot of speculation. It would have all contact with any inmate, whether it be state or county. They're the body cams that I would try to go for are the ones that they cannot cut off at any time during their shift. Everything will be recorded. And either whether it be good on the inmate side or bad on the inmate side, it'll tell the truth of everything that happens.
All right.
And and I do know that, you know, a lot of the officers there at Mabel Bassett, they ridicule, they mentally talk down to the women, they mistreat them, they do all kinds of things to them women. And fact that, you know, like, yeah, with the men and the ladies in Oklahoma County, I've sit and I've watched a death just about once a week come out of there since January. And I'm like, what is going on with this county? So I made sure to put Oklahoma County badge on my Facebook page. It's called Amanda's Law, Body Cams Needed. And I managed to put an Oklahoma County badge and a Department of Corrections badge for the state of Oklahoma on there, because I feel like Oklahoma County is the worst county in the whole state right now.
Oh, ain't no question. It's not even a question.
And I want to bring awareness to people that we can get the petition signed. I need 5,000 signatures. I've got almost 1,800 signatures. I've only been doing for 2 months.
All right.
And I need a lot more. I mean, because like I told you Saturday at the rally here in Oklahoma City, I'm going to take you with me to the Capitol when it goes time to get this thing delivered.
I participate in stuff like that. I mean, we have to reach the legislators, because they are the ones who pass the laws. Just like you said, the body camera that you want to talk about and being in corrections, they are the ones that make the laws. I mean, we have to get them people outside of lackadaisical, I'm comfortable type state of mind, and get them out and make them do something for the people.
Yes.
So you're definitely right about it.
Yeah, and if you get the bad seeds out of there, because they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to wear a body cam, because they're going to get caught. The bad seeds, the officers, they're going to go, and hopefully there will be people in there that do care about who's in there and their well-being.
Right, right.
I mean, when the judge gives you 20 years, he's not giving you a death sentence behind that.
That's right. That's right. That's amen. Well, see, like you just said, the point is, like you said about the lady, I'm sorry that she heard her head bashed in by a no-good trash correction officer down there, but I'm going to tell y'all what. Those people get away with that malarkey and that madness and killing people, and guess what? Don't even get tried in the courts by the district attorney's office. It's almost like they got a collective effort in protecting one another. You know, it's almost as if they have connection to higher-ups or whatever. Like you said, the man you told me a couple of weeks ago, actually, about 10 days ago, that the man, the officer who jumped on his lady and killed her like that, still working in the same facility like as if nothing had happened. You know, now come on, man.
Yeah, he's still there.
That's absolutely crazy.
He still works there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are they still investigating it or what? I mean, what's going on? Talk to me. Yeah, what do you think about this? Man.
You know,
That's
ridiculous. You know, hearing that story is absolutely ridiculous. You know what I mean? And your idea of wanting to have the body cams, you know, whether it be, you know, whatever level it may be when they are incarcerated, you know, or being waiting to be sentenced.
Yeah.
It's a good thing because, you know, if the officers out here have to wear body cams in order to show accountability for what they've done or to justify whatever they're doing, which we know that they're still doing everything that they want to do with or without a body cam. But at the same time, being in a closed facility like that, they can't just, oh, well, you know, they're going to have to be accountable. They're going to have to pay attention to what's going on. They can't just neglect it because it's going to show, you know what I mean, that the neglect on camera. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, like they do now, oh, it's disappeared, we can't release it. No. You're in a closed facility. You can release that information. You know what I mean? You can release that to justify why you didn't help or why you avoided. You know what I mean? So it's the accountability portion, you know.
Amen. Amen. Just like in Addie's case, I don't want to cut you off and then you can have right back. Like in Addie's case, she has a husband who went to jail. Y'all listen to me. I don't care what that person went there for. They have a constitutional right to a fair and impartial trial, not for the damn jail to be judge, jury, and attorney. You understand me? When you get that person, when you send that person to a death sentence and haven't even had their cases heard, you're completing a death sentence as if they're, because they're charged. This needs to change, y'all. Just like she said, her husband was in there for three damn days asking to be seen by Turnkey Medical, which runs that medical facility in the county jail. This has to stop, y'all, because too many innocent lives. And guess what? They're doing it and making money at the same time because they have what you call pockets of attorneys making bets about who's going to die next. How many are going to die within a month? I'm telling y'all, don't think I've lost my mind because they do that.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So our thing is, like I said, since 2016 up until now, there have been 66 deaths. And that ain't nothing but going on seven years, y'all. That's preposterous. That's 6.1. Oh, no, man. We got to do something about that. So, Cynthia, we're definitely going to – don't go anywhere now because we're definitely going to bounce back and forth to you two later because we have some more people getting ready to get on. And I just got the calls in. But we're going to bounce back and forth to your two statements right here. And I want y'all to know that we are going to look into this situation, y'all. We're going to try to get funding set up for people who can hire attorneys. And the way we do that, we can get some of the federal-funded money that these state and counties are getting just that we have not asked for it yet. And we can demand it because they cannot discriminate against taxpayers' dollars. If they have a effective plan for correcting behaviors, well, we can have an effective plan too, but we have to come with a business plan, y'all, to justify the money coming. It don't just go to one particular sect, no government agency, entity, and not a, you know, so I want y'all to understand that. And Addie, just like what you just stated, have you asked for the body cameras of the officers inside of y'all, the surveillance cameras in the county jail system?
No, I did not think that I was allowed to ask for video.
Okay. Don't worry, we're getting
I don't know how any of this works.
Don't worry about it. No, we got it. I'm just asking you because you have under the Oklahoma Records Act, you have a right to any and all materials that's geared toward government transparency. You also have a right to the Oklahoma Public Meetings Act, to attend public meetings of the government to express yourself before a live body of people. That's my process with these shows and things to educate people about what they can and can't do now, where beforehand, now they're given a leeway to really bounce back and propel themselves forward to getting a better understanding and feel about what you can and can't do. If somebody don't give you a documentation, you can file a grievance against them. You can file a petition against them. You can file lawsuits against them. Now, when you start taking measures like that, they start thinking in terms of, oh, I better wait a minute, man, because my pocketbook's going to get light. You see? So it's because that we don't know how to file lawsuits and things that they get away with a lot of stuff. But you can best believe they're getting ready to, their time is almost up, you know, because we're going to fight the fighter to the fighter. You know, we're going to go 12 rounds. If it's a 12-round fight, we're going to give up. We're going to give up 6, 7, 8 rounds, not even in the 10th round. We're going 12 rounds, like I said, and let the judge decide on the end. So we want you to feel relaxed in knowing that you're not by yourself. And, again, our number is 405-246-9089. We're here to be there for anybody who want to call us, and we're getting ready to do a 1-800 number. So, therefore, people got in the middle of the night, say, oh, man, I just can't sleep. I need to talk to somebody. I'm having nightmares or whatever. You know, we just want to know that we are here for you and everybody else. So, again, our condolences to everybody that's on the line. And, yes, Rachel, thank you for calling in right now. And Rachel has a question for you, by the way, Addie. This usually we get calls because we can't get everybody on the line. What if I already got 7 lines open to reserve up 3 more people? So what they do is they just give me a little question to ask, and I'm going to read one to you. Addie, this is for you. Rachel want to know, how are you holding up now that your loved one is gone, and are you planning to file a lawsuit?
I have actually, I tried to file a lawsuit. I got a hold of a lawyer. Basically, he ended up rejecting me.
Okay.
And the way I'm holding up is not too great. That's not the only death I had to deal with. Husband died Christmas Eve of 2020. My dad died of a heart attack January 13th of 2021.
Then my nephew
on February 25th hung himself in my front yard.
Oh, my God.
And I had to cut it down and everything. So, really, I'm not holding up. But I'm holding up because I got to support my family.
Bam, Addie, you know what? God left you around for a specific reason. You understand that? God left you around for God left you around for a specific reason, and that is to get involved in the advocacy of others and trying to prevent some of the same tragedies that you've gone through. And the way you're doing that now is a great start because you got. Go ahead, man. Come on, talk. Y'all, hey, y'all know me. Anytime somebody want to say something, say, Michael, shut up. I'm going to talk now. That's all y'all got to do.
No, I was just going to say, I am, like, I've been trying to figure out how to fight for my husband, and I'm also trying to find a group that does the same thing for mental awareness, because my nephew was in a mental hospital. They were told not to release him. They released him, and the very next morning, he committed suicide.
Okay, well, we need you. Look, we're getting ready. We want you to point all that out to us. Because this, see, when Oklahoma, listen to our name. Then, Mayette, you can take over. Listen to our name, y'all.
Okay.
Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. So when I didn't say church abuse, jail abuse, prison abuse. I said Oklahoma People Against People Abuse. So regardless if it's medical, social, economic, religious, political, we're gonna listen to it. Mayette, go ahead, talk to them. What you got to say on that?
Just to piggyback off of Michael, you know what I mean? Well, I'm with the Fred Hampton Gun Club. Nobody knows who I am, you know, or first time, you know, speaking with me on here. But I am the chairwoman of the Fred Hampton Gun Club down here in Oklahoma City / Tulsa / wherever I need to be in. and that's how I feel. And, you know, working with Michael and everything, you know, it's, you know, me and him conversate back and forth. But really a lot of things, you know, that go on are, you know, not just revolutionary on that side. A lot of mental health stuff that's going on down here in Oklahoma. I also have a grandmother that's schizophrenic and bipolar. And so it's really hit close to home with me when it comes to, you know, mental, you know, problems, things that are going on that can, you know, easily be solved if they take the time and slow down and take care of our people, and they don't really want to do that. They just want to do the same thing that they're doing, you know, with the jail system. We're going to bring you in as soon as we get you booked, get you medic, you know, send you off the meds, and, you know, you're out the door. It's the same type of, you know, system, you know, based type thing when it comes to mental health and the jail system or prison. They do that. You know what I mean? They don't truly care. They don't truly care about people. It's about the dollar. It's about writing off things. It's about, oh, well, we have, since we, our beds are full. So, yeah, you know, we got a couple other people coming in. Take them out and bring them in, you know, type thing. So they don't take the time to care. My heart goes out to you for, you know, going through these tragedies, you know what I mean, and being so strong enough to speak about it. And to tell other people about it, it really does, you know, bring light to the fact that Oklahoma has to change. You know, we can't let, you know, the neglect, you know, of our people here in Oklahoma to be, you know, thrown underneath the files, thrown underneath the desk, and just saying, "Oh, that's it. We ain't worried about that no more." No, bring that up. We know that you neglect our people. From every angle, you're not stopping. Mm-hmm. You don't care. You know what I mean?
No,
so when I see them get on, I'd be like, no, y'all don't care nothing about us. Y'all don't care about anybody, you know, at all.
Not even their own families.
Exactly.
They'll sell their mom up the river for a dollar. Trust me. That's the mentality I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. But now let me go to Stacey right quick. Stacey, you've been kind of patient with us. Tell me what you've been hearing. I mean, you used to work for the jail system too, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. I worked.
Tell me
at
how y'all handle things.
We never treated our inmates like Oklahoma County treats their inmates. They always got out on rec. They always got their food on time. They always got their med passes, and they always got changes of clothes when they were supposed to change out. There was never no bed bugs.
Okay, go ahead.
And we never put hands on our inmates. We treated them like human beings. They are not dogs and cats. They should be treated like humans. Just because they broke the law, they shouldn't be treated like dogs at all.
Yes, yes. So now you and your mother also work there, right?
Yes, me and my mom and my stepdad work at Grady County Jail.
Grady County Jail. Now, what? So now, where is Grady County Jail located? Did y'all have many inmate deaths in there? Because inmate on inmate, jailers on inmates. How did that work?
Grady County is in Chickasha, Oklahoma. There wasn't many deaths in there. We always
really?
Did our suicide watches. They was always in. We always took everything away from them that they wasn't supposed to have, and put
right.
them in cells where they were supposed to be at.
Right. So so in other words, I don't mean to cut y'all off. My mind is reeling and racing here. So y'all had a pretty effective method then for saving lives then, right?
Yes, we did.
So that being the case, don't you think that the state of Oklahoma through the Oklahoma County Detention Center could do the same thing if they were trying to prevent suicides and deaths and other tragic circumstances from visiting the inmates too?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you had something to say to the Oklahoma County Detention Center, I'm getting ready to ask all of y'all this before we go to a break. If you had something to say to, well, you already said it, matter of fact, you did it pretty good this past Thursday. You know, I was up there reeling and laughing away, man. I'm glad we had cameras that we can prove that we were there. But anyhow, if you had something that you could say as far as trying to help out the condition of that county jail, what would you say to Greg Williams, the CEO there?
Tell them that they need to do better and do what they're supposed to do, get their CEO or their CEOs under control and make them do their job.
Okay. And
I say.
So now you were out there again the other day and you saw what we were doing. You heard about Cynthia talking about the June 11th incident, actually rally down there in Mabel Bassett. What came to your mind? Then we're going to get back to Cynthia here. What came to your mind, Seth, when you heard that a young lady was taken by a correctional officer, had her face bashed into the ground? I said, man, are y'all kidding me? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? What in the world is going on?
That goes back to me saying that they're not dogs. They're not animals.
No.
Animals don't get treated like that.
Wow. I mean, so Cynthia, tell us about that June 11th rally. What's that about? What's taking place?
Well, we're going to all gather out there by the road, and we're going to be out there supporting the Amanda's Law petition.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be discussing the conditions inside the prison as far as mold in the
mm-hmm.
rooms,
mm-hmm.
backed up sinks in the rooms, the
mm-hmm.
medical, the mental health.
Right.
The fact that the chief security warden all the way down, nobody's doing their job. If anybody was doing their job, the man that did that to her would not be there. The officer that let two females in another lady's cell after 10 o'clock at night, she would not still be there.
Wow.
That girl got beat so bad, she had bruises from the middle of her thighs all the way down to her calves.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
I've got
pictures of mm-hmm.
Yes, I have pictures of that. I've got pictures of everything. It's just not me saying it's happening. I got proof it's happening.
Hey, all of us got the proof. All of us got it. But see, that's what I'm trying to say, y'all. We got to come together and prevent this tragic set of circumstances. We are a society that exists, supposedly, on statutory laws, principles, and procedures. But at the same time, it seems that these people can disregard the policy, practice, and procedures whenever they decide that they have the gumption to do so. So, Mayotte, is that a good idea? I mean, should they be allowed to do that, or should they have to follow the law like you and I do? I mean, you and I get arrested if we jaywalk wrong or go and steal a candy bar out of a store. Why come they don't get arrested? What's up with that?
You know, my thing is that, you know, like I was talking about accountability earlier. You know, there's a lack of accountability with people in positions that they have to control, you know, what you eat, what you do, where you go, all these particular things. If you take an oath to be in those positions of whatever position you are in, and like I was saying earlier, like they don't, you know, they don't care about the oath, and they should be accountable for every word that they put up. They said up there that I will do, I will protect, I will, you know. And it needs to be done. It don't need to be just thrown off to the side, you know, so y'all
mm-hmm.
pretty much playing Wild Wild West out here.
Yeah.
And whatever else you want to do, you know, for your profit or your gain or someone else's profit or someone else's gain. So, yeah, like, you know, they should be held to this, you know, to a higher standard, actually, than regular
Amen.
Civilians.
Yeah, oh, no, that's, you're definitely right. Because they're in control of people's lives there. Getting back to,
okay.
I want to harp more again on Addie's situation with her husband. Listen to this, y'all. In a modern-day society, in a setting where 1,200 inmates is supposed to be the max, you have more than 1,700 inmates cramped into a jail setting. There is no way in the world that turnkey can get there and adequately address every inmate's medical, emotional, mental, or whatever status of hurt that they're subjected to. No kind of way they can adequately do it because there's an added strain placed upon a system that was designed for 1,200 inmates. So, yes, Addie, they are directly responsible for your loved one's untimely death. It's no question about that. So we want to know, step by, as I told all you ladies I'm going to do here, let's start with you, Addie. What do you think can be done to ensure that people are given adequate medical procedures? Because, like, you had a direct family member inside because he beat on the door for 3 damn days and other prisoners inside. What do you think we can do to check that then?
First of all, it sounds like they need a whole new staff that actually cares about their job and the inmates. Secondly, I know they have a lot of people to look after, but if a jailer cannot get to my husband in 3 days, they need to add more staff.
Bam. You said it. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? There are actually more than 400 staff members short of running the jail, yet they want to try to build a bigger one. That means added.
That don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't. Yes, y'all heard me. They're getting ready to try to build a more than $350 million jail, and if you're already short of staff now, don't you know the added misery, heartache, pain, suffering, and debt is going to be visited upon the 1,800 inmates that the jail is going to be designed to hold? And don't y'all know that that jail is going to be actually designed, watch this here, you got a 1,200-man jail already that's holding 1,700, so that 1,800 jail cell is going to actually be holding 2,500.
Wow.
You see? But they're not going to tell you that because if they told you up front, then they know we wouldn't support it. But right now I'm saying to everybody on tonight's show, we do not need to support a bigger jail for more death, more bed bug, more hatred, more denial of medication, more denial of outdoor recreation, and adequate food, more food trays. Talk to me about that, man. What's
up? I'll say, I feel like they shouldn't build anything until they get this one correct. You know, they get their stuff in order. They get, staff to a level that is manageable. You know what I mean? It's not this low staff, all this low pay, all this, you know what I mean? They're not hiring quality people. And they're not hiring enough people to actually take care of the inmates and to actually regulate things that are going on in the jail. But I'm going to add to that, Michael, and everybody else that's on the line. They have people that are inside of the jail that are not there to help. You know what I mean? They're to import and export things that are not supposed to be there. You know what I mean?
That's
we right, all kind of generally know that. But to the level that it's at right now, they're being exposed and they're exposing themselves. You know what I mean? So, and it's taking lives away from, everyone. You know what I mean? With every neglect case, every death that they could have prevented, every, injury, disease, infection that could have been simply solved by actually giving proper medication, actually doing your duties as a official officer inside of the jail or, a doctor, whatever position that they hold in there. The quality of people that they have are not high, and they want to push upon the ones that are there, you know what I mean? But, you know, they could possibly be in a lot of things. But, you know, I'm not going to go too far into it, but it needs to be fixed. And it's exposing each and every time something happens, and I don't understand. I still don't understand to this day why it's not getting national attention due to the high rates of death, you know, that's going on, and it's continuing. It hasn't stopped. You know what I mean? So,
they
need to get it right. They need to get what they have right now, you know, under control and need to get back on how it's supposed to be before they just want to put towards a bigger jail. You can't even manage the one that you have now.
Wow. So, but see, look at what you just said, man. They can't manage the one they have now. So the whole idea is to do what? Just flood that jail setting. And guess what? The more people you have, the more federal funding you get. That's the purpose. To finding out, instead of solutions, diverting those millions of dollars toward educating people, getting the homeless off the street, getting jobs in our roads that are potholed up and turn our axles and our cars and things up. I mean, they are not looking at that there. And Cynthia, tell me why in the hell that can't be clear to them?
You know, I was asking the same question. I called Department of Corrections last week and talked to the Inspector General a week ago today. And I wanted to know, why was Amanda Lane still in the DOC roster as still being active at Mabel Bassett?
What?
And she passed away. She passed away 3 months ago.
Money.
But they showed her as active. And I said, you know what? They're getting paid for a dead woman that's been gone for 3 months. Okay?
That's crazy.
And Mabel Bassett was raking the daily money in on her for 3 months. And then when I said something about it, I checked it again a week, the day later on her last Friday, she was inactive. And I talked to the Inspector General there at DOC on Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the day later, she was inactive.
But see, because you brought it up.
And you want to hear something else? You want to hear something else? I asked her, I said, can you tell me her cause of death? Because I've been trying to get a copy of the autopsy report. They've been telling me it's going to take 3 to 6 months.
That's right.
So then I finally figured out. I get a death certificate. Well, she wouldn't tell me the cause of death. And then I'll be darned if what Tuesday, 2 days ago, right after the three-day holiday, Channel 6 News out of Tulsa put the autopsy report on the news. Tells her every little thing that was wrong with her. In Tulsa.
Yeah.
But it didn't come out in Oklahoma City or anywhere else.
Right.
So I'm like, why would they not put it in Oklahoma City?
Because Mabel Bassett is located in Oklahoma City.
That's right. And they're saying she committed, and the autopsy says that Amanda Lane committed suicide, that she hung herself with a 2-foot string that was in the waistband of her shorts.
Oh, man.
There's no way. It's going to take a whole foot just to almost wrap it around her neck, if not more.
Yeah.
So how could she hung herself?
Right.
So.
And you know what, y'all? You know what? I don't mean to cut y'all off. Let me say this, Cynthia. You know what? These people here are so blatantly masterminded that they can lie to you in your face, and just like Donald Trump said, man, I didn't say that, and he got him on tape. You know, that's how confused and reckless these people are. What do you think about that, Stacey? You've been kind of silent. Talk to me now.
I think it's bull crap. I think that Oklahoma County needs to be shut down. And a new jail needs to be built, and they need to get more staff or fire the staff that they have and get better staff.
Right. Well, there's no question that the staff needs. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep talking.
I was just saying, because, you know, it's clear to see that they need to filter out the ones that are not for
and security of the inmates. You know what I mean? Or the well-being, because it's too many of them. You know what I mean? It shows. It's very clear. And I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why they're not, you know, it's not being, the envelope is not pushed, you know, to a higher level. You know, they don't want that. They don't want that. So that's all I had to say, Michael. Michael, you there?
Yeah. I had a little technical difficulty, so I got it now. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm got it. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Oh, I said that was all I was saying.
Oh, no. Can everybody? Yeah, I had a, I was trying to, the station had. Can everybody still hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I was making sure. So, Addie, are you willing to actually come in? Now, listen, y'all, for those of you speaking tonight, I would like to get some of y'all, if all of y'all, matter of fact, on our Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse board. And what we're trying to do with that is that we're going to start collecting data and put it on a, like a registry. Like, for example, if we get complaints about jail, another jail inmate died and maybe jailer and four other people that were there didn't help them, we want to have these names registered to where if they try to go and get other jobs in places like this, even like Jenny was saying, she did this similar thing, what she's talking about, then the record will follow them. And the only way the record's going to follow them is that we keep data information about their wrongs, half-truths, and lies that is attached to their grievance file. So a lot of people don't know, when you file a grievance against the officer, it goes in his jacket and it follows it. Remember that, y'all.
Wow.
So it's not like, it goes to them, because that's the whole purpose of it, transparency. Now, again, only way we can really be effective with that, y'all, is that we know, first of all, we have to have what you call a premature lock into all people who want to become correctional officers or police officers. That's the problem, y'all. We never know what training they go through. We never know the background. We never know if their father or mother was, you know, white supremacist or whatever the case is, man. This is what we have the right to know. Did you finish school? If you didn't, why are y'all trying to cover up and use people in this in setting? Because let me tell y'all, listen carefully, y'all, then y'all can have the floor. There has to have, listen carefully, every agency, law enforcement agency, has to have their quota of misfits. Do y'all understand that? That keeps the system what you call monitored. Do y'all understand that? So
yeah.
They hire people deliberately knowing that they are creators of madness and mayhem, but they have to have a certain percentage of that. And guess what else? They also have what's called money set aside for those kind of people. That's why they get filed lawsuits every day. They don't worry about what we're doing because they have a battery of lawyers already retained. So when that one breaks loose, I want y'all to understand that. And guess what? They say, well, man, we short on money. No, they're not short on money because they already done deterred the money or diverted it to another area than where it's supposed to go. And the same way with this jail, it's going to be the same doggone way. Talk to me, man. What you think?
I'm saying, you know, that, like I said, their money plan is going to fall apart. You know what I mean? Their agenda is going to fall apart because of the simple fact that nobody, you know, here, every victim's family, you know, I encourage them and also you, Michael, and, you know, even the ones that step forward on their own are not being silent anymore. You know, we're tired of, you know, what, turn on the TV. You know, seeing that we're tired of getting phone calls and, you know, stuff like that about you guys' neglect where you could have made a difference and you could not to, you know. And we do need to know the background of, you know, the people that say they are for.
You're doggone right. You're doggone right.
Texas don't need to say, oh, well, he or she is a police officer, so we should just automatically trust you because
you're right.
Or you're you're a correctional officer, so yeah, you know, we know you took an oath, you're gonna, you know, do outstanding. No, that's not enough. You know what I mean? Today it's not enough. Yesterday it was not enough. Last month, the last couple of years, it's not enough. You know, y'all shown us that y'all don't care nothing about the oaths that y'all take, that everything that y'all stand for, y'all don't care about, and the agenda is much deeper than just, oh, well, you know, this unfortunate event happened. No, those things, it's not a coincidence happen. You know, if you are hiding, you know, the autopsies and hiding all this information, keeping the families away from, you know, belongings, you know, twisting it up, coming up with different stories, hiding information. If you're having to do all that, that automatically shows that everything you said happened did not happen the way it happened. So
right.
It's about time for us, you know, as Oklahomans, you know, to actually stand up for it. You know, if you care about everything that is going on, that's why I push my comrades so much, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the gun club. You know, and we did a show talking about all the real
mm-hmm.
revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that. You know, we need people that are going to stand out and speak up on the behalf of
Amen.
The families, on the behalf of, you know, the friends and the loved ones of each person that lost their life due to the neglect of the jail system, you know, and their agenda. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's a big accountability thing that we're going to have to push, that we're going to have to keep on the forefront. And not only that, you know, like I said earlier, all revolutionaries in Oklahoma, I don't understand why y'all are just sitting there and not saying anything about, you know, what's going on in the jail. I said what I said, and I want you guys
yeah.
to step up
mm-hmm.
because it's
yeah.
hard. Sometimes it hits me a little tough, even though it's not my family. I feel like it. You know what I mean? Like, hey,
yeah.
this is people here. You know what I mean? That didn't
yeah.
deserve to be treated. You know what I mean? So just the accountability factor. We've got to keep pushing it. We can't let anything go silent anymore. If we do, they'll keep doing what they're doing, and they won't stop.
Amen. Now, y'all know, now y'all heard what she just said. I know all y'all want to piggyback on it. I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to speak just a second. Yeah, let me get a station break right quick, and I'll be right back, y'all. This is People Power Radio. I'm your host with the most, and my co-host, me, your boy, we right here in Oklahoma City doing the thing that you need to hear. Your ideas, your opinion, your thoughts, your mindset, it all counts. There's no right or wrong here. Nobody's going to bash you or belittle you. This is the show, again, where your thoughts, your ideas, your mindset, your opinions count. There's no one run, no big eye, little you. I don't run anything. Mayette don't run anything. We're just making it possible for you, the radio audience, to get in and get your voices where you otherwise would not have your voices heard at all. Tonight we're talking about my loved one died inside a jail or prison here in the United States of America. So, again, we have several hosts on here tonight who are also co-hosting with us and giving us their opinions about ideas and things. We're talking about the June 11th rally that's going on in Mabel Bat in McLeod, Oklahoma, on June 11th at noon. Right out in front of the prison of Mabel Bassett's female facility. So those of you who are listening to our radio and you can come down, please tell your loved one and others about us, because we are not playing. This sort of thing needs to be straightened out. This lady, again, with the Manners Law is Cynthia, and she's telling us about the things that this young lady here has had to suffer to go through. No, I don't give a doggone what that person did. They know Jay is supposed to come in and say, I'm going to take a life or physically abuse someone because I have the authority to do so, because no constitutional law or practices permits or accepts embrace that kind of wicked, unconstitutional, and non-call-for behavior. So, again, y'all going to be at June 11th at Mabel Bassett in McLeod, Oklahoma. We're going to talk about that a little bit more before we go. Again, y'all, tonight we're talking about my loved one died inside a jail in prison. If you have a loved one who's died in jail or prison, or a friend, maybe a next-door neighbor or a buddy at work, y'all please call in at area code 563-999-3789, and your voices will be heard again. Your voice is what counts. Stacy, what's up with it? Tell me what's up now. You got 3 minutes. I'm giving everybody the round table. We got to get ready to close out here shortly. But Stacy, take off now. This is the time of the show where everybody's got pretty well moisturized about what the show is all about. So you would like to take 3 minutes of each of our guests to go in and talk about what they want to talk about, whether they want to talk about the loved one, whether they want to talk about having to go to work tomorrow or whatever. What this does is just kind of gives us a general perception of how we feel about one another, what you want me to know about you, or, you know, maybe you have a loved one in that stinking jail or whatever. See, I'm getting there. We want to let everybody know that we have some kind of connection if they want to. Now, again, it's not necessary that you reveal anything you don't want to reveal. But, Stacy, take it off and tell me what you think I and the audience need to hear.
So my fiance is locked up in Oklahoma County. He got booked in on April 7th. And today is June 2nd. He ain't had no clean underwear. He ain't had clean socks. They missed giving him his meds for like a week.
What?
Yes.
That's the same thing Adam was talking about.
He didn't take his meds for a week. He's been like 2 or 3 weeks without a shower. He called me early May 19th on his court date 6 times, starting at 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning, saying that the detention officers came in his cell and tore down the pictures off the wall that I sent him of me and the drawing that his sister sent.
Yeah.
And they poured coffee and condiments on his Bible and his pictures and his drawings and his letters.
I'm God gonna get them for that.
Yes,
for real. They took all his stuff. They pulled his hair. They took his hairnet out of his hair and pulled his hair. They took his hair tie. They have moved him multiple times without.
It's hard.
They have moved him multiple times, and he ain't been able to make a phone call for like a week or two. He was asking for a blanket.
Do you want to say his name or? Do you want to? I don't mean to cut you off. Then you still got a minute. Do you want to say his name, or if not, you don't have to. But we want everybody to know, you know, these people, because like I said, on the 25th, we're gonna say his name or her name. We mean business. You see what we did last week, but talk to me now.
His name is Breyer.
Okay.
On May 10th through the 15th, he asked for a blanket and sheets and did not get them.
Oh, man.
May 9th through the 13th, he couldn't make no phone calls. He was moved to the 8th floor, and he wasn't supposed to be moved. That's when he didn't take his medicine
for almost
a week.
Mm-hmm. What they say? He thought he had made bond or something. Was that the excuse they gave?
No, they moved him because I guess his court date was the 19th, like I said. And when somebody caught up, I think it was my mom that caught up there and asked where he was because he didn't call us, and he usually calls me every day. So he didn't call me, and so I told my mom, and she caught up there, and they said that they moved him. And it took them a week to move him back to the floor that he was supposed to be on.
Stay talking about, you got about 30 seconds, like I said, because the time is winding down. But go ahead and tell me, you got 30 seconds, tell me whatever. This is not going to be in, y'all. We're going to be talking more on it, but go ahead.
Okay, well, Sergeant Beans went in there and told them that they couldn't get wrecked because they was acting like a whole bunch of monkeys, and if their heads didn't. If their heads wasn't stuck up their behinds, then they could have got wrecked. And I don't think no DOs or no sergeants should be talking to inmates like that.
No, you can't talk to them that way. No, you can't talk to them that way. They'll write you up.
But that's all I want to say.
Stacey, thank you so much. Again, don't go off the air because we're still going to have, after the round table, we still usually have about 4 or 5 minutes, but we usually try to alert our audience so that if the radio goes off while we're talking in the middle of it, that they're not surprised, and they know that we didn't just blink them out without trying to give them a forewarning. So they are here. Cynthia, talk to me now. You got 3 minutes. Talk to me. What's going on with you? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the injustice of incarcerated people that are being belittled, mistreated, worse than a dog on the street. They're being abused physically, abused mentally. They're not getting medication.
I say.
And everything Amanda's Law stands up for is to correct 99% of the problem.
I love it.
Put the body cams on them. They can't call them monkeys. They can't do this.
Yeah.
They can't do that because guess what? Yeah. They're going to be put on Front Street, and that's just where they need to be. Right on Front Street, and somebody higher up than the warden needs to be able to look at them videos. When an incident happens, somebody higher up needs to look at them. The feds need to come in or something to correct the problems that's going on in these facilities.
I see.
I say.
And I am mad, and I am standing up for every person, whether it's county, state facilities.
Yes.
I am mad, and I am not going away. I don't care who comes to my house, who gets my number and calls me. I do not care.
Amen. I like that.
I'm mad. I am mad. And, Michael, you know I can get mad.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? Right's right and wrong is wrong. It don't care if it's one of us or if somebody got a badge on their shirt. They got their job and we got ours. And ours is to not get in trouble and go to jail. Their
that's
job
it?
Is to make sure they treat people with respect that they deserve.
Yay, man. All yeah. right. Since I got to cut you off right there because time, hey, appreciate it. But don't go anywhere, y'all. We still got a few minutes after we can do this. Come on, Addie. Come on, talk to me now. You've been silent. You've been pretty patient. Talk to me now. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. First of all, that lady's story has me scared to think of what my husband actually went through, worse than his 3 days of heart attack. Secondly, and this will be my last thing to say, is I have been managers at restaurants. As a manager,
okay.
I really don't have to do anything but paperwork in my accounts. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I'm paid for. But if my crew needs help, what do? I go help them. I do what I am not paid to do. I go help them. So, therefore, there is no excuse as to why somebody in that building, if they're for imports, exports, whatever that lady was saying earlier, if you're sitting on your butt and don't have no import, export, get your butt up.
Uh-huh.
And go check on that inmate.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me say this.
It may not be what you're paid for,
but
get up and do it.
No, go ahead. Keep talking. Mama said, go ahead. I was going to tell you, don't worry about what
you're
on my show called. You can say, answer whatever you want. This is your show, like I said. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Amen to that. I mean, it frustrates me to no end when I hear somebody say, oh, that's not my job. Then what are you doing in that building? If you cannot help beyond your job, then there's a problem. If somebody is having a heart attack, dying, and you cannot help, there's a problem. If somebody is going through a mental crisis and there is nobody there to help them and you cannot give up 5 minutes of your time to hear what is wrong with them and talk to them and calm them down, you need another job.
Yes, yes.
You need to do something where you don't have to deal with people. And that's what I have to say. I'm getting mad now.
Hey, that's good. Hey, y'all done great tonight.
I'm getting mad. It's time to get fired. You know what I mean? It really is because, you know, we can sit around, you know, people can sit around all day and just kind of, oh, well, you know, everything's going on, you know, life is going on. But there's a lot of things that are going on that needs attention. And the people that that are supporting everyone and bringing the stories to light and the families, we're all fired up about it. And you can't put out that fire started, you know what I mean, until real justice is given, until they pay attention to what's going on and the neglect that's happening, we're going to have to still stay on fire for it. We're still going to have to stay on fire and even after, so they know that you can't do this. You know what I mean? This is inhumane of you treating people like this. You know what I mean? Regardless of whatever they're charged with, whatever they're waiting to be charged with, you know, to be proven innocent or, you know, guilty, we still have to treat them as human beings. And that's where I feel like humanity has slipped off on the side when it comes to people in uniform that put, even people that carry firearms that have some type of level of authority, you know what I mean, that are putting that to the back end. They put their humanity to the side, and now they're becoming nothing but animals, you know what I mean? So we have to stay on fire if we're going to put out this evilness, you know what I mean? We're going to have to purify, get it back to it should be, not this mess that we got going on here. You know what I mean? We didn't say, when they come in jail, we just going to treat them horrible like this is a concentration camp. That is not what we stand for. You know what I mean? That is not what the people for every day in these facilities. You know what I mean? That's not what we asked for. That's not what the people want. People want justice. The people want everyone to be treated humanely. You know what I mean? So we got to stay on fire. We don't.
I feel like I feel like they also need to go through some type of training for each instance that could possibly take place. You know, whether it's mental or medical or a fight or anything, like anything. I don't know what could happen in a jail. I've never been. But, you know, I can only imagine with the stories that I hear. So they need better training.
I say that's true.
Yeah, that's right. They need
to
Do you know what they have all these funds
going to different places. Why don't you fund to make it better?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what's the one thing that'll hold up in court on all of them?
What?
That's their guidelines and their procedures. Even
they have
the right to be treated in a humane manner. And you use their own rules against them, and you're going to win every time. Oh. And Oklahoma County Jail's got its guidelines, and if they're not using they're not doing their guidelines, you got them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all back each other up as well. So basically, to get anything done, you know, somebody was saying, you know, have this person look at it, and then this person look at it. But they all back each other up when it comes to something like this. So that's where we have to go further than just the people that it can be turned over to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That also means sign my petition for body cams.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I want to sign that.
Sign my petition for body cams.
Yeah. Everybody loved that.
Body
that
cam them up.
Yeah.
Put them on candid camera. See how they like it.
Exactly.
Like they shouldn't be able to hire people that look like they just got out of high school either. Because when we was up there Saturday, that's all it was like up there was high school people working up there.
Yeah,
with no
right.
training.
You're right. No kind of
and
experience.
And what about the little jerk that was standing there grinning about tearing up that coffin?
Yeah, ain't that something, man? A flagrant disrespect I've ever seen one in my life.
You know.
Wow.
My daddy was CID in the military. He taught me to take people out behind the barn, and I loved to take him out behind the barn.
I imagine I can see him now hollering, "Ooh, I didn't mean to know him."
There you go with right's right, wrong is wrong. I mean, it's,
you know. Y'all absolutely right about
that. Hey, let me tell you, the Shawnee Police Department and the Pottawatomie County, they do not fool with me.
Yeah, I see. I'm listening to you. Shoot, I wouldn't either. I'm hearing you talk.
I get them with their own laws. The city ordinance.
Damn.
And their own laws. I even kick them off my grass. I've been known to kick them off my grass and through the gutter where they belong.
but see, we need more fighters. Okay, now, y'all, let me tell y'all right this here. Then I'll get my little sign by then, and then we have the rest of the night after I let everybody know. Well, let me say this right quick. What we need to do, y'all, seriously speaking, we need to sit down and get a campaign and a list of potential political strategists of our own. In other words, we need to have somebody fighting and going up against these damn fools so they don't want to automatically think that they can just get in the office because whether we vote for them or not, they're going to get in there. We have to hold them accountable. And the only way we can do this is we have some of our own candidates running against them and sit them down and let them go and debate the issues, and we can really expose what they really think. What y'all think about this?
I love it.
Now that I found you guys, like, y'all don't understand how down I am with whatever, as long as it's not too far for me to travel.
Oh, yeah. I am there
and whatever you need.
Yeah. And you know what? But not only that, y'all, listen carefully. We can also do the Zoom calls and all that. You ain't got to leave out your living room or your car, wherever you are. See, it's more than one way it's going to catch. We just got to wait till the 25th. We can also put in strategies And guess what? We can go live on Facebook where everybody could be watching us in the back room or whatever. You know what I mean? And maybe then leave suggestions for comments. That's how you get it. You go to social media, y'all, and we say, hey, anybody living in Muskogee or whatever, if you're tired of the way this Republican and the Democrats say they're going to do things, let's put one of our own grassroots members up against that person. Like, guess what? You can best believe there are a lot of disenfranchised people today that's upset and mad and won't change it because they see, look what's going on with the one we have in office right now. So you're trying to tell me at least 80 to 85% of people don't want change and their personal loved ones are being affected? Come on, man. Come on, yeah. You see?
I have been praying for you guys for a year and a half.
You got us now. See, that's why if you make yourself accessible, being available to others, always be there because somebody's watching you. That's what we like doing.
Right.
Our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. And guess what? Our slogan is, we mean business. Bottom line, we mean business. If you got something being done, go ahead, man. If something being done wrong to you, no, you ain't going to be left out. We're going to handle it straight up, you know, and try to find people that can help you that's as motivating as well. I mean, because like I said, if we don't do it, y'all, no one will. Ain't no kind of damn way at it. Your host, 3 damn days, no medical procedure. Hey, man, what the hell y'all got me? I need to be on that street. I could have done better for myself than what y'all doing in it. So therefore,
yep.
You're showing me that you're not qualified to hold me in this confinement. You're not qualified,
yep.
Educated, or experienced enough. So that tells me I'm unconstitutionally being held. Let me out because you're not qualified, nor do you desire or deserve to cause the harassment problems that I'm going through.
I'll show you.
Yeah, but see, the story that I got from his friend got from his cellmate, is
yeah.
This not even lack of them not knowing what to do? It's lack of attention because they
yeah.
did not respond to the call, multiple calls that they were getting, that button being pushed, that phone being picked up. They did not respond. They have lack of education as well, but they doing too much.
So let me ask you ladies here again, then I'm going to have to go to the station, take a station break, let everybody know that we maybe maybe go off without coming back on, but that way we have at least about 6-7 minutes left because I definitely want to hear y'all's ideas. But let me say this. I thank y'all, Addie and Cynthia. Do y'all want to be on Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse's subcommittee? Because, see, with those committees, simply all of what it does is you continue to do what you do. Look at it. Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, okay? What this means is that no matter where you are, listen carefully. And I got all kind of badges and things for y'all. I just hadn't put it all out there yet because I'm on. It's only for special people. And I'll put it on Facebook tonight to let y'all know it's brilliant and so lovely and so nice. All you got to do is put it on your card. Guess what? What's it on the card? Oh, no matter. On your Facebook page or whatever. And people saying, ma'am or sir, I get it all the time. Sir, who is Oklahoma Coalition? What is that? What do y'all do? Sir, ma'am, call that number. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is maybe you may save a life at that particular time driving down 5th Street, 8th Street or whatever. You see what I'm getting at, y'all? That's what we're about.
Yeah.
And then your membership grows larger as well, man. But at the same time, we're letting everybody know we can't do it blank. We need funding, so we want others to help us because we cannot help a person love one on air. Because if that were the case now, we'd already have lawsuits and stuff filed, but we don't have the money. So we got to start drawing our attention. Does that make sense, y'all? We have to start drawing attention to people who want to donate to our cause. We have to start campaigning. Talk to me something about it.
Well, I tell you what, I'm there. I'm a good salesperson. I can do a lot of talking, so I want my name on everything.
I'm there, Michael.
Hey. All right, I know.
Yep.
Hey, you know.
I say.
Hey, that's what we're
there.
Yeah, hey, I'm telling y'all. Look, I'm telling y'all. Once we get these campaigns and things going like this here, then more and more people will start becoming. Watch this here. Y'all ready for this one? As Oklahoma Coalition stands out, guess what we have shown? Your family, your ideas, your protection counts. We don't discriminate against anybody. I don't give a damn if you smarter than 950,000 people. That don't give the people holding you the right to take you out. So what I'm trying to tell you, I say, no, sir, no, ma'am. You're not the judge and the jury, too. What the hell are we hiring you for, man? Y'all vigilantes. So what I'm trying to tell y'all, we've already proven. We don't just pick Patty and, well, I like Johnny. I ain't going to Harry, and I don't want to mess with him because he argued with me the other day. No, no, no. Hell no, man. We don't stand against those. Bottom line, if you got somebody that been done wrong or hurt, call on us because, as you see, we're coming. Bottom line.
That's it. Yep.
I see. Yeah. I see 314. If you want to speak out, you can. We got about 6 minutes here, but I'll give you about a minute and a half because you came just a little late. But let me say this right quick.
Yes,
and I'll give you
I came in late.
Now, okay, go ahead. Who is that?
Nyla Garcia, Eddie Garcia's sister.
Yeah, you know I certainly wanted to talk about your brother up there tonight. So go ahead and let me give you a little bit of time to go ahead and at least take 2 or 3 minutes here, then I'll give the rest of three and we'll go up there and then we'll come back. But go ahead, Garcia, tell me a little bit about how you feeling today and what you think needs to be done about that situation.
Well, we're still can't grieve my brother correctly just because we still have unanswered questions and, you know, we just kind of feel, I mean, that was a place that's supposed to be a drug free zone, and their guards are bringing in the drugs, and like I said, we talked to the people there, and they told us that all the inmates have to go through their body scanner, but the employees do not.
Wow! Did y'all hear that? Say that again.
So that's something that needs to be added to the list.
Yep. So that's what they told us. What day did we go, Michael? It was what Tuesday.
Tuesday,
and I said, he was like, yeah, we all the inmates go through this body scanner, and I said, do your employees do also as well? They said, no, they do not go through our body scanner.
Look at that, y'all. Why? To keep pressing on all the stuff coming in there, because it's going to kill their money. A lot of people are making money on the side big time, y'all. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month.
Yep.
And I'm not exaggerating.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why they
I don't know how many people learn anything in jail. You end up a rich person.
Shit, what you mean? I know for a fact you do. What you talking about?
you know how much it costs to get a cell phone in one of those
facilities? Yeah, about $200 on it. About $200-$300 on it. Cool. Like
nope.
Why?
$1,500.
What?
$1,500 per cell phone.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
But the way I look at it, the cell phone that they sold somebody is going to put them right underneath the daggum prison in the county jail.
Well, I tell y'all what, y'all. Let me tell you what. See, with what we're doing here tonight, and I definitely want you to get on the board too with us, we're getting ready to do some campaigning to where we need to start getting funding, y'all, because we need to lock that jail down. And the only way we can file lawsuits and hire attorneys and all, because they're not going to work for free, as you see. They're not even trying to get on board like that. So we're going to have to start campaigning some kind of funds, putting it into a central committee, and from that pot, decide what case we're going to do. We have to file a class action lawsuit. That's how more effective you become. Not one or two people, but you. I'm not talking about the ones that died. That case is still good. I'm talking about class action, about the bed bug, not being fed, not getting showered, not getting out of your cell, medical problems. Those things like that needs to have an overall lawsuit filed, separate from the class act or the personal lawsuit. So, y'all, we need to, again, start thinking about this here, and what we're going to do is probably next week we'll get on a Zoom so we can kind of see one another's faces and kind of get a little bit of, you know, a more sense of who we're talking to, because when you talk to a person, you see their face, you kind of get the feel of that person's expression and things of that nature. So I just wanted to say that right quick. Let me say this right quick, y'all, so I can get off the air, but let these people know so they won't be surprised, and then I'll come right back to y'all just a second. This is People Power Radio. This is Michael Washington, your host with the most. I'm here with me, your boy, right here in Oklahoma City. We're your hosts. We are here, and we're giving you this, what you need to hear tonight. Again, there are no right or wrongs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But with us, we want to know, do you have a loved one who died inside here in the Oklahoma State prison system or jail system? If you have a show you want to do, please call us up at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. As I've always said to y'all, before we get out of here, we got a few seconds left, and then we're going back to the back room. Let me say to this, everybody's listening, love someone. Tell your family member how much you love them tonight, because tomorrow may not be the promise to you. Let me say, may God rest in peace. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Good night, our audience. We're going to our back room for about a minute and a half. Y'all be blessed, and again, we'll see y'all Saturday and on Thursday. Y'all stay blessed. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, we still got a few minutes. Nyla, you came on late, so talk to a little bit more about what you have to say right quick.
I'm so sorry. I totally we was with family. We're just trying to get the answers. And, like, we went up there Tuesday, and they just kind of gave us the bull crap that, oh, mm-hmm. you know, half most of all these people are drug users. I was like, but
wow.
still, it doesn't matter who they are. And I was like, and I even told them, like, y'all trying to build this big prison. I was like, that money needs to go to mental health and drug rehab facilities where these people need to be at, because half of these
yes.
are people with mental health and drug or alcohol abuse.
That's right. Y'all, get ready to cut us off, y'all. So, again, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow, and be blessed, everybody, and thank y'all for joining us. Have a good night, and may God bless all of y'all. Thank y'all again, everybody. Y'all stay good.
Bye-bye.
All right, get ready to get off there. I'll see. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.